you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we pray that you would, even now, be preparing us to encounter you. That even now you would be preparing our hearts and our minds to understand and to be changed. That you would teach us more about who you are, and then through that teach us more about who we are called to be. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A little boy was spending his Saturday morning playing in the sandbox. He had with him his box of cars, he had some trucks, he had his plastic pail and a shiny red plastic shovel. And he was in the process of making roads and tunnels and castles and all the rest in the middle of his sandbox when he discovered a large rock right there in the middle of the sandbox. Well, the boy dug around the rock. He managed to kind of dislodge it from its place. And with a good amount of struggle, he pushed and nudged the rock all the way across the sandbox, kind of using his feet and back and pushing and just getting all even sandier. He wasn't a very big boy. It was a very large rock. It took a long time to get that thing all the way to the edge. But when he got there, he found he couldn't roll it over that wall, the wall that's on the edge of all sandboxes. He couldn't get it kind of over. He even kind of moved some sand to kind of make a thing and tried to roll it up. But every time he did, it would just roll back down. The determined little boy shoved, he pushed, he pried. And every time he thought he had made some progress, the rock tipped and then fell back into the sandbox. The little boy grunted and struggled and pushed and shoved. But his only reward was to have that rock roll back down right over his fingers. Finally, he just burst into tears and frustration. All this time, the boy's father watched from the living room window as this drama unfolded before him. At the moment the tears fell, a large shadow fell across the boy and the sandbox. It was the boy's father. Gently but firmly, he said, "Son, why didn't you use all the strength that you had available?" Defeated, the boy sobbed back, But I did, Daddy. I did. I used all the strength that I had." "No, son," corrected the father kindly. "You didn't use all the strength you had. You didn't ask me." And with that, the father reached down, picked up the rock, and removed it from the sandbox. I wonder if there are times in your life when you don't fully use all the strength that's available to you. And I wonder what those times are for you. I wonder if sometimes God gives us particularly big challenges specifically so that we can invite other people in to help. I wonder if God purposefully finds things that are too big for us, and he knows they're too big for us, so that we can make sure, so that he can make sure that we find help. It seems to me that no matter how you shape, order, or even control your life, there are simply times when we need help. When the obstacle is simply bigger than you can lift. When the wall is just higher than you can climb. When the road just goes farther than you have the strength to go. Or maybe you might have the strength or stubbornness to make it, but it's going to cost you. Maybe you have the strength to push that rock all the way out, but in doing so, you might get hurt. In doing so, you may leave out some other part of your life. You may have the strength to overcome this thing, but without help, there's a cost. And even in those times, I wonder, if you're honest with yourself, you can see that every once in a while, the smallest amount of effort from someone else might make the biggest difference for you. And yet we don't ask. Do you recognize those times? What keeps you from asking? Why is it so hard for us to ask for help? And then let's not make it all about you either. Do you recognize those times in other people where you could do something so small, not even out of your way, that would mean so much to that other person? making a little extra of a meal and bringing it to someone, babysitting someone's kids, cleaning something, giving a ride to someone who can't get a ride, just being there to listen with time. It's amazing how that trifling, small amount of effort, barely noticeable in your life, might make the world of difference in their life. And then maybe looking at this one other direction, one other way, is that the kind of community that we want to be? Is that who we should be to each other? A place where we can be honest enough to ask and accept help from each other. A place where we can be that help to each other. Today we continue our journey, looking at the Exodus. As we continue to recognize that sometimes as a people we get ourselves stuck. We sometimes find ourselves enslaved to situations, patterns, habits, lifestyles, or to put it another way, we find ourselves in situations where we simply need help. Sure, we tell ourselves that if I got myself into this mess, I can get myself out, except that's not the reality most of the time. That's not always the case. Sometimes we need something bigger than ourselves. Sometimes we need help to get ourselves out. And that's not just what God does sometimes, but it's who God is. You can make the case that this is the story of the whole Bible, that God in love helps. It is from Genesis all the way to Revelation, God is continually helping us, setting people free. But I think this story gets lived out quite vividly in the book of Exodus. And God invites us to be not only free, but then to give our lives to make a difference in setting others free as well. When our story began a couple weeks ago, the people of God, the Israelites, have become slaves in Egypt. Now, before they were slaves in Egypt, they were just in Egypt. They were quite comfortable in Egypt. And we even kind of mentioned that they might have become slaves to their comfort in Egypt. They shouldn't have been there in the first place. Arguably, they should have been in the Promised Land. They should have left the comfort of Egypt, except Egypt's where the world was at the time. That's where the best stuff was. That's where everyone came to Egypt for everything because it was the superpower of the day, and things were comfortable there. But in some ways, the Israelites became slaves, even to that comfort. But then after a while, they also then became slaves to the Egyptians. But God is on the move, don't worry. God has already picked Moses to lead his rescue mission to the people. He looked down the bench, he saw Moses there, he said, "Moses, you're up, get in the game." And Moses kind of did a, "No, that's not a good idea." And we spent the last 2 weeks kind of going through how Moses argued with God. Moses spent a lot of time expressing his questions, his concerns. "God, I don't think this is a great, I'm not good with the talk, are you sure?" And he went through all those different complaints and questions, and then suddenly he says, "How about just send someone else?" And that's when God's anger came. Apparently, it's absolutely okay to ask questions of God, to express your concerns to God, to express your doubts to God. But when he sent you to help, he wants you to do it. And so God reassures Moses, he equips Moses, he promises Moses he'll be with him, and then he sends him on his way. And so let's look what happens. I would encourage you to turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 4, verse 29 through a couple of chapters. We got a couple chapters to cover, so we're going to kind of bounce around. I'm going to read a little, I'm going to talk a little, I'm going to read a little, I'm going to talk a little. It's one of those sermons, so you're going to have to kind of leave your Bible open as we go. Exodus chapter 4, while you're turning there, I'm going to also remind you that Moses wasn't only concerned with Pharaoh's response, which was a fear all by itself. Normally when you go to a Pharaoh and you tell them to do something, they don't like that, especially if it's not going to help them. So Moses has got, that's going to be a pretty big challenge, but we talked about it last week. Moses has another issue as well. He's got to convince the Israelites that he has seen God, that he's heard from God, and that they should follow him. And that they should follow God. And that's not insignificant. That's not an insignificant challenge. it doesn't do Moses any good to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, okay. And then he goes to the Israelites and say, hey, you're free. And they're like, who are you? We're good. We're fine. So he's got to get the Israelites to understand who he is, who God is, before he can even get the Pharaoh to say the same things. And so he and Aaron go to the Israelites first. That's what we're going to read right now. Exodus chapter 4, 29 to 31. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of Israel. And Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. And let's stop there just for a moment. So good so far. The beginning of the message, they go to the Israelites, they bring the message of God, the people believe. The people are amazed. They're delighted that God is going to rescue them, and they respond in worship, as only you have to. What a great beginning. Moses must have been stoked. Moses goes to the people, brings the message, they believe, they rejoice, and everyone was happy. Moses must have been amazed, ecstatic. I mean, it worked. I mean, he isn't too good at the talking, but God must have shown up, and I talked, and they listened, and they believed, and they worshiped. It was awesome. It was so good. The people will follow. Can you imagine the high that Moses must have felt at that moment? I mean, I bet he thought he could conquer the world at that point. Bring on the Pharaoh. Let me show you what me and God can do. Let's see what happens. Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert. Pharaoh said, who's the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now, let us take a three-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword. But the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. Then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working. That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and the foremen in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the men so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies. And we'll stop there for a minute. Well, that's not how that's supposed to go. Moses was supposed to go before Pharaoh and give him his practice speech, throw the thing down, show him the signs and all the rest, and Pharaoh was supposed to just let the people go. Isn't that what God said? You just go before Pharaoh, you give him the message, and the problem's solved. And then we go. We'll go to the promised land after that. And not only did that not happen, but Pharaoh decided to punish the Israelites for Moses' presumptuous request by making things even harsher for the already enslaved Israelites. They still have to make the same number of bricks, but now we're not going to give you supplies anymore. You go find your own supplies, but still make the same number of bricks. In other words, now, thanks to Moses, they all have a lot more work to do. And not just more work, but there's even this kind of ominous note about the work gets even harder. Not just more quantity, but the quality of work gets harder as well. That they're going to be harsher to the Israelites. And so we're not surprised when the people turn against Moses and against God. I mean, things weren't good before Moses came along, but things are definitely worse now that Moses has come along. Thanks, Moses. You're awesome. We're excited. Can you imagine Moses' disappointment? Can you imagine what not only Pharaoh's turning his back, but the Israelites turning their back would have done to Moses? I wonder if this was one of those moments in Moses' life where he truly knew that he was going to need some help. I mean, facing an impossible task in the front and then having your own people who are supposed to have your back turn on you as well. Can you imagine how alone Moses must have felt? There really are simply times you need help. Sometimes these things come from bad situations in life, a sudden illness, an accident that happens, even a divorce. There are just times where something goes wrong in your life and you need help. But then there are those other times in life where it's actually something really good that happens in your life, requiring you to need help. I think we forget about this category because of the first category. There are times when something really great happens, but you're at a point where you can't actually get it all done. If you've ever had a new child, you probably need help. If you've ever had a new job or moved to a new place, it may be a really great thing, but you may find that when you're there, you just need help. Or maybe you're simply just getting older, which is a great thing, except as you get older, you find you just need more help. Things are harder. Even when we're at our best, even when we're at our strongest, there just seems to be times in life when we feel that we're moving against some giant, powerful, relentless force. Whether it be at work, in your life in general, at home, there's just some, you just feel like all day long you're just pushing against something and that other force pushes hard. How do you overcome the Pharaohs in your life? How do you go up against that kind of relentless force? How do you go against that much opposition? Obviously, you're going to need some help. I mean, you almost need something greater than that opposition. So we're going to keep reading. We're going to start at Exodus chapter 5, verse 22. Moses returned to the Lord and said, "O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Israelites are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgments. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country." But Moses said to the Lord, "If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips?" And let's stop there for just a minute. So Moses goes to the Lord to share his concern. And you wonder if there's a little bit of "I told you so" in there. I mean, he doesn't say "I told you so," but there's a little bit. You wonder if there's a little edge there of, "Lord, I did what you told me. Didn't work." But we find that God not only expected Pharaoh to do this, God planned for Pharaoh to do this. God then tells Moses that because of his mighty hand, and a different translation that I saw said it this way, because of a greater might, Pharaoh will let them go. Because of a greater might, Pharaoh will drive them out, and the people will be free. And God doesn't stop there. Not only does God reiterate the promises that he originally made to Abraham, he also exclaims that he's going to do it. He's going to bring the people out. He's going to free them. He's going to redeem them. He's going to take them as his own. And I love that middle part of that passage. because of how directly and actively God speaks about the help he's going to bring. I will free them. I will bring them out. I will redeem them. I will take them. I will be their God. Despite all the huge problems that Moses faces, God is going to bring his greater might to bear, which is more than Pharaoh's might, more than the power of Egypt, more than the fickleness of the Israelites, greater than any problem Moses might be facing. God will bring his greater might. God is being abundantly clear of exactly who is going to be setting the people free, of exactly who is going to help. Sure, Moses has a part to play, but God will bear his mighty arm, and he's going to see his people free. He's going to deliver them, to redeem them, and to take them. And in our own lives, there really are those times when we simply need that greater might. We need something to free us, to deliver us, to redeem us, to take us out. There are times when we need something stronger than our best to get us out of the messes that we find ourselves in. I wonder if you believe, and I wonder if you know, that God can and will bring his greater might to bear on the problems and challenges that you face. I wonder if you really believe that. That God loves you so much that he will bring his greater might to bear. There's one more part of this passage I want to read. Exodus chapter 7, verse 6 to 13. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Perform a miracle,' then say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake.'" So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. Amen. So Moses and Aaron, they go back. They faithfully go back to Pharaoh, and they do all that God has called them to do. Despite the setbacks, despite the disappointment, Moses and Aaron remain faithful, and they go back to Pharaoh, and they carry God's message. If at first you don't succeed, keep doing what God told you to do the first time. And even when Pharaoh doesn't believe at the end of this part of the story, it's now understood that this has something to do with what God is doing. It seems to have become clear for Moses that he does have help, that he's not truly alone, that God really is doing something. God is freeing the Israelites while at the same time putting his power on display, while at the same time growing Moses, making Moses different. The last time Moses faced uncertainty and challenge in his life, he ran away. He retreated to the sidelines of life. He ran to Midian, and he seemingly gave up. Here, after the same kind of uncertainty and challenge and disappointment, we see Moses re-engage, even after the defeat. He seems to be learning that he really does have help. And he goes back to Pharaoh again. And even in this disappointment, the tone has changed. Whereas before, Moses goes before Pharaoh, Pharaoh says no, and Moses kind of runs, kind of tail between his leg, leaves. This time the passage is clear. It's just as the Lord had said, that God is doing something bigger here. And he's going to carry it out. It's Moses' job to faithfully bring the message each time. It's God's job to work with that and to change Pharaoh and to change Moses. Moses really does have help. It's also worth noting, not only is God absolutely present, but God really was faithful as well in sending Aaron with him. Moses didn't want to be alone in something like this. And so God gave Aaron to go with him. It kind of implies to me that maybe there are times in life where you're allowed to have help, where you're allowed to go to each other and say, I need help. Can you go with me on this? Can you just hear me out on this? I need an extra set of hands. It also means that we might be the instruments of God's help to each other sometimes. That little bit of help may be God meeting them in those moments. Moses goes before Pharaoh. He says, let my people go. It doesn't work. Next week and the following week, we're going to be spending some time with some plagues. God's really going to bring that greater might to bear in some pretty crazy ways. But he's doing it to get his people free and to grow Moses and make him who he's called to be. This isn't just the story of Moses and the Israelites. It's our story as well. This is the good news of the gospel. The names have just been changed for our sake. Because in a big and small way, we too were enslaved to sin and death. We too are enslaved to the habits and addictions of life. And Jesus was and is and will continue to be God's greater might that came and comes to set us free. One way to look at the story of the Exodus is this is the story of Jesus before Jesus. The people ended up stuck. They ended up enslaved. And God did something out of this world to change things, to set them free. And he does it again and again throughout the scriptures. And he does it ultimately in Jesus. That Jesus becomes God's greater might to see us free. So I guess I just want to end with where we began. When you go through difficult times, do you really use all the strength that's available to you? Do you use all your own strength? Do you use all of our strength? And do you use all of God's strength to help? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the example of Moses. We thank you that he more and more remained faithful, and more you did a powerful work through him. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that you are a God who has and will and does help. That when we go through those hard times of life, the challenges of life, that you are there to meet us. That you don't want us to do these things alone. It was never designed for us to do these things alone. You want to be there with us. You want us to be there together, helping each other, blessing each other and blessing the world. And we thank you for your son who is the embodiment of your greater might, and who brings that to bear in each and every one of our lives. We thank you for him. We thank you for his love of us. And it's in his name we pray all these things. Amen.